So the verses are Matthew 13, verses 44 to 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old.
Thanks, Beth. Great to see you. My name's Kev. I'm the minister. So good that you're here, especially if you wouldn't normally be with us on a Sunday afternoon. Brilliant to have you here. Ray Kroc used to run McDonald's. If you want a Netflix recommendation, the founder is quite good. Tells the real story of how he randomly discovered the original McDonald's restaurant. It had been created by the McDonald's brothers. Ray here thought that their food packaging and production process were such a thing of beauty that he sold his own business, remortgaged the family home, and devoted his life to what he saw as a treasure trove of potential profit. There's a scene where he and his wife are out for dinner. She rolls her eyes because all he can talk about is the depths and the wonders of McDonald's. That was the 1950s. Today, they say that 1% of the entire population of the planet visit a McDonald's every single day, including in Singapore. I was quite shocked when I visited Singapore last year to hear that they love their McDonald's. I couldn't believe that the discerning foodies of Singapore would stoop to such a culinary low. Should be ashamed of yourself if you're from there. But despite the mockery back in Ray's time, despite a slow start and complications, the Golden Arches have advanced forcefully ever since. The kingdom of heaven is worth an awful lot more than McDonald's. You didn't need to come to church to learn that. But even if you value Mackey D's by the $25 billion they took in last year, the kingdom of heaven is so much more precious treasure. Treasure is the story of three of the four parables we just read. Treasure shapes how we read the fourth one as well. Jesus' aim is that his disciples will so understand the incalculable value of his kingdom that, like Ray Kroc, his disciples will give his kingdom their all. We've been diving into the treasures of Jesus' kingdom in Matthew since September. If you've been new to Euston since that time, I promise you we do look at other books of the Bible. It's just that the best way to hear God's voice clearly is to teach his scriptures in context, every part joined to what's before and after, in the way that the Spirit has inspired the gospel for us, which is paragraph by paragraph through a book. Thanks for the conversation, guys, about Matthew's gospel. Really enjoyed that. Personally, before this year, Matthew was one of the four gospels I knew least, so it's felt fresh to me. Jesus' teaching is electric, but one of the challenges of immersing ourselves in the detail of a long work like Matthew is we can easily forget where we've come from and what the big picture is. So a moment on that. Matthew divides into these five blocks of teaching, specifically teaching the disciples, surrounded by the story of his public ministry. Look for the link between each story section from the end of the teaching session into the next story. That gives you the repeated refrain when he'd finished these sayings that shows you we're into a new section. So structurally, our chapter 13 slap in the middle of the whole of Matthew. The thing in the middle of a structure like this is often particularly important, And I think there are good reasons to read chapter 13 as the heart of Matthew's material. By the way, a Q&A next week. Push me and come back at me on that if you want to talk about it more. I think it partly, just because we know how organized he is from this structure of the teaching blocks. And secondly, the subject of chapter 13, the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember that the summary message since John the Baptist through Jesus, then the disciples sent out, has been the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Chapter 13 has the most concentrated number of references to the kingdom of heaven. And then the other thing is that this links directly to Matthew's big purpose. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything I've commanded you. That's the commission to Matthew and others at the end. Well, the final verse we read links directly to that great commission. Verse 52, every scribe, in other words, teacher, who has been trained, the word is literally discipled, is like a master of a house who's bringing out their treasure. In other words, that's a summary of Matthew's work. Taught, discipled. Now you, Matthew, go and teach and disciple them in all that I've commanded you. And that verse is a summary of the ongoing mission of the church. Us trained to share the treasures of the kingdom with the nations. Which chapter 13 so far, and Beth alluded to this, has taught us is not an easy thing to do, because the kingdom seems weak, hidden, small. It's misunderstood. There's rejection, opposition, and yet it grows, brings joy, bears fruit, wins in the end. All of those highs and lows I just mentioned, by the way, are all the stuff of the rest of Matthew's gospel, which is another reason to think that this chapter is an interpretive grid. How will disciples then and now keep giving their all in this tumultuous landscape Jesus himself experienced as well as predicted for us? Well, Jesus' aim is that his disciples will so understand the incalculable value of his kingdom that, like that guy Ray Kroc, Jesus' disciples will give his kingdom their all. All in discipleship. How does that sound to you on a Sunday afternoon? Boring? Unpersuasive? Worrying? Wearying? Verse 44 here, we looked at New Year as a one-off sermon. Some of you quite liked it, a sermon of one verse. A few more of them was the feedback. But it's so easy to overcomplicate the Christian life and mission. Verse 44 sums it up. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, I talked about reading the Bible in context. It's the next few verses that help us understand what that first parable means. It's the basic one. The main points of the first one are underlined by the second one. So the treasure and the pearl both have the same points. They're both about something valuable and giving up your all for it. And it's the net parable, the third one, that expands on the valuable treasure idea. And then it's the final couple of sentences about new and old treasure. They explain the giving all that you have. So you see that? Two parables, the two main points, and then the next two expand on each one of those. So there you go. We've already covered the first point. Tick that off. We're on to point two. To be in Jesus' kingdom is to possess the most valuable treasure in the universe. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden, it says, because like the mustard seed, it's small, and like the leaven hid in the flour. Are we mad to give ourselves for a kingdom that other people can't even see? No, because verse 44, the joy of finding treasure. Verse 46, it's great value. I wonder, is treasure your category for all that we have in Jesus? Traveling through Matthew's like gazing on a collection of fine gems. The kingdom of heaven means forgiveness, a father, a future. It means knowing the Lord of life. It's like jewel after jewel after jewel on each page. And the parable of the nets explains just why this is all so precious. Verse 47, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. My dad's first job was in a fish market. He thinks that's quite biblical, you know, a bit like those first disciples who were fishermen. My mum was always less impressed. Apparently, he used to show up on dates smelling of eau de mackerel and bits of fish scales still stuck in between his fingers. Very attractive. It's a miracle I was ever born, actually, when you think about it. But the parable of the net with its sorting and containers is my dad's old job. It's really a replay of the weeds that were explained last week. The repeated idea again is this great separation. So this lot over here, this other lot thrown over here. Good fish, bad fish, the wheat and the weeds. And the thing that nails the connection with the weeds parable is the sobering repetition of what this all means in real life at the close of the age. Again, angels sent out. Again, a fiery furnace. Weeping. Again, gnashing of teeth. And sure, fire is some sort of picture language, but it's plainly a picture of something horrible. A place of bitterness, crying, regret that will fester for the rest of forever. Another thing about reading Matthew chapter by chapter in context is you can't avoid the difficult stuff. And you can't avoid the difficult stuff coming up repeatedly. Jesus has mentioned hell and judgment more, I think, than I realized he would in Matthew's gospel. And he'll give us more opportunities to dwell on the logic of it. If people can't stand Jesus, how could they be part of his kingdom? The reasonableness of it. He's just giving people over to a path they've chosen in that way. The justice of it. Judgment Day equals Justice Day. We want all wrongs to be held accountable, don't we? Who doesn't? So if you're not a Christian yet, you know, this is deliberately graphic because Jesus loves you. The message of his kingdom is urgent. Lean into him in trust. Don't be part of the grim future described here. And for disciples who are the ones actually in the house who Jesus is speaking to, how humbling to remember that this world is hurtling towards an inevitable day when the great net we're all being gathered up in will be thrown onto the shores of God's judgment. My only hope of being separated into the good pile is not my goodness, it's Christ's. And the contrast just between these two destinies could not be more stark. Because it's not just the safety from hell. Remember what we read in the weeds. A father in whose kingdom we'll shine in righteousness. We're going to be like Jesus. All causes of sin will be banished, it said in the weeds parable. I mean, I don't know how you feel about your life. I can't wait for all the causes of my sin to be banished. What a contrast. What a relief. What precious treasure to know the future, to know you're safe. Do you know, I think we can get so bogged down in gazing on what we've given up or missed out on. Remember the parable of the sower? The deceitfulness of riches? Other people thriving? Shall we pack it in? Or at least dial down on the keenness? Easy to be weary, resentful servants. And the ultimate value we need to remember, the ultimate value of the kingdom of heaven can only be understood when we have this future view in focus. I mean, how much is it worth in financial terms to have an answer to what's beyond death? Think of your friends who've got no answer. And how much, I mean, what price would you put on it knowing that you will meet God as Father at the close of the age? Again, when you think of people who have no sure hope or purpose, how much is it worth to know that this tragic destiny will not be yours? Take the world, but give me Jesus, say the words of an old hymn. That must be right when we're thinking clearly, mustn't it? Keep the world, because joy. I've stumbled on the riches of the universe. And I don't know whether you feel the joy today. Maybe reasons why you don't. But this should make a difference to every disciple. Because if we understand this, it will shape us. This is our final point. Jesus says, if you understand these things, then give your all for the kingdom. Two parables, those first two. Two ideas came across in both of them. An idea about value. That was explained through the net. And then an idea about selling all you have and giving your all. That's the other repeated idea. And that's these final couple of verses. Do you know, I mentioned we looked at verse 44 at New Year. In our little family, we've talked quite a lot about that parable ever since. I think because it's so short, when we've not had time for proper Bible time, we just default back to talking about the hidden treasure. And we've gone round a lot of details that the kids want to explore, you know, the ethics of it. Was it all right that he hid it and didn't tell this person that he bought the field off, that there was treasure in the field? We've talked about the practicalities of it. So were these two blokes naked when they went to make their purchases because they sold all that they'd had? And it is extreme. You know, the McDonald's movie, the wife of the bloke wasn't best pleased when she found out he'd remortgaged the house. These dudes sell the house, the car, the pension fund. They've not gone mad though, because treasure. And sure enough, one of the illustrated kids' Bibles has a picture of the merchant dancing away, clutching the pearl, face beaming, and wearing only his underpants and his vest, because he sold all that he had, and he got the thing of most value. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean in the real world to sell all you have for the kingdom? They're parables. Jesus doesn't want you to buy a field. He's definitely not suggesting you can buy entry to the kingdom. And we're not a cult. We're not saying sell everything, give it to Houston Church. You know, we'll look after it for Jesus on your behalf. However, all in discipleship is a theme at the beginning, middle and end of Matthew. Do you remember those wise men coming all that way? All that treasure, they devoted themselves to the Christ child. And then at the end of Matthew, teach them to obey all I have commanded you. It's a theme we see throughout. There's a real intensity in the discipleship Matthew describes. That's certainly evident here in the middle chapter. Sold all he had, bought that field. Maybe you're worried about committing to Jesus because it sounds too intense. Wearied, perhaps, by the cost of Christian discipleship. Other dreams and passions bigger in our sights than the kingdom of heaven. All that he had, all you have, your little life in one side of a column, your relationships, giftedness, job, money, the phone, and then on the other side of the column, Jesus and all the blessings of his kingdom. It would literally be worth giving all of that away to gain his kingdom. And this does, I think, speak to our priorities generally. It's not saying things like ditch the job, but that my attitudes and my actions in my job and in every other area of my life should be shaped by the fact that at the heart of my life, I have treasure that the world doesn't offer and that money can't buy. Again, maybe we could explore some of those implications if you want next week in the Q&A. But Jesus gets very specific about what giving our all means in the final couple of verses. Verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now, it might sound surprising Jesus mentioned scribes, the teachers. They've not been the good guys. Jesus is a different kind of teacher. And he's training, discipling a new class of teachers. Matthew and the disciples are the new scribes. They've listened. They've asked. They've been schooled in the treasure. And now it's their job to display the treasure. New and old basically is Old and New Testaments. More precisely, it's the way Jesus fulfills all that was promised previously. If you say you get this, Matthew, then get busy giving the treasure away. Matthew, do you remember, we met him earlier. He had a lucrative work. He was a tax collector. And do you know what? He gave it all up to write that for you. Absolute gold. He was no fool. And you know, this is one implication. This is what Sundays are about. Is we gather to look at the gold. If that's our attitude, I take it it will be very shaping of how we view things like this meeting, midweek, any Bible time. And become a scribe yourself. Matthew sent to make disciples, teaching us to obey everything he was commanded, including the call to make disciples. We know already from Matthew that mission to reach the nations is one we're all being trained for. Have you understood these things? Well, if you have, then you're trained for the kingdom. So give it your all means give yourself to sharing the treasure. And again, that's already been such a theme of the teaching blocks, sent into the world to shine, to speak, to sow. Go make disciples of the nations, share the treasure. It's not a call to a particular task. Evangelism, discipleship, yes, yes, yes to all of the ways that we're treasure sharers. So if you lead a small group here, I hope you find this energizing. Value in what you do. Maybe you do a one-to-one. Or try and invite friends to come and hear the gospel. Maybe you're good at chatting naturally to people, colleagues at work, about faith and life. I was just thinking, it's so easy for us to be blasé about the things we do regularly. Oh, just another Bible time, just another chance to invite friends. Not just another anything. These are the pearls of eternity. To be a disciple is to be a treasure sharer. So please can I ask you, as I've felt challenged myself this week, how are you feeding into the lives of others the treasure that's been given to you? There's nothing more important or precious that you could give yourself to. And there's lots more that we could say. This might mean getting a bit more training if you have particular teaching gifts. If you're asked to lead a group, you're being asked to be some kind of fine jeweler. Why wouldn't you do it? But all of us, wherever you will be tomorrow, and I hope you'll be around people tomorrow. You can't be a treasure sharer if you're on your own. But as you think about those people you'll be around tomorrow, you know stuff that could shape their eternities. You know the secrets that the prophets long to hear. Have you understood all these things? Well, if so, so what? There's no great beat up. It flows out of the joy of understanding what we have. So that's the place to focus. Dwell on eternity. When did I last think about it? For 5 minutes. Ask the Lord to help you understand it more. And from that place, share the treasure. Guys, I know it's really hard to think and live like this, isn't it? Peer pressure, cultural values, just life chip away at us all the time. Treasure looks hidden, remember? Kingdom of Heaven's not popping up every 5 seconds on Instagram as the greatest sensation. So when they ask you, why do you give so much of your life to the kingdom of God? And when you ask yourself, yeah, why do I give so much of my life to the kingdom of God? Jesus' parable of the hidden treasure is a story for you to remind yourself of the answer. Lay verse 44 alongside your very real worries, disappointments, other potential riches. Put verse 44 beside the cost you feel and the ways that you're wearied as a disciple. So easy to overcomplicate the Christian life and ministry, isn't it? And this sure does take a lifetime in the working out. But when you get that verse 44 is a metaphor for your story, it's all actually amazingly simple and clear.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field.